Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but there is various content added throughout the week, so you want to swing on over there, check that out, keep up with what's going on, all the other fun stuff. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, you all know it by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, with three E's.
All right, Dan. So I got a story for you here. You know, we refer to the league, Mr. Fantasy. And I share the team in as the Money League. And we had kind of a rough season, but we did manage to bounce back and win what they call their toilet bowl. What they do is all the teams that don't qualify in the playoffs get thrown into a tournament style thing, and the team that scores the most points in the final 2 weeks of the season gets their entry fee back. So we managed to do that. We were the best of the worst teams, I guess is how you could look at it, and we got our entry fee back. So that's always a plus. I mean, we didn't lose any money. Well, they do this playoff thing, and, you know, I couldn't decide with everything going on with Mr. Fantasy. I wasn't sure if we were going to get into it. You know how he is about returning messages. So I didn't hear back and forth from him or other. Yesterday, he contacts me wanting to know if I want to do it. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I mean, we can get into it. No big deal. When are they doing the draft?
Tonight.
And he goes, well, I'll find out and I'll text you back. And he goes, okay. He goes, well, you know, this was yesterday. So I get a text message and the first thing says, well, they're doing it tomorrow. Okay, well, no big deal. I mean, everybody knows my schedule. You know, they know you and I are going to be here till 6:30. These things normally don't start till 7-ish or so. So it's no big deal. I'm like, okay, you know, it'll wrap up pretty quick because it's a shortened draft version. It's not like ours where it's going to take 4 hours. So I'm like, okay, well, what time? He sends me back the start time. These idiots aren't starting till 9 o'clock.
At night?
Yeah. So I text him back, of course, and I said, well, you know, dude, I'm out. I said, I can't do 9 o'clock. I said, you're on your own. Good luck. Sorry. And then my last comment to him was, well, you know, thank them for taking my schedule into consideration. And you've got to realize these are guys, we've moved drafts because it's been guys' anniversaries or they've had game tickets or, you know, guys have had to work or they're going on vacation. I mean, you name it, they've moved drafts for everybody else. But not once in the entire time that Mr. Fantasy and I have been playing in this league have they ever adjusted something for my schedule. And it's just kind of like, okay, great. Well, you know, the hell with you guys. I mean, I can't play. I can't make a 9 o'clock draft. I don't know how Mr. Fantasy is going to make a 9 o'clock draft because he's never up that late anymore, even on the damn weekends. So I thought that was quite... Oh, what's the proper term for it without being too, since it is a family-oriented show, I thought it was quite crappy of them to kind of not consider, you know, what I have to do when they decide to do these things. So I was just kind of like, well, the hell with you guys, and, you know, maybe it's just time I get out of that seat because crap.
You mean tonight at 9 or tomorrow at 9?
Tonight. If it was tomorrow at 9, it'd be no big deal. It was a Friday. But it's tonight at 9 o'clock.
Oof, that's rough.
Yeah, and, you know, it'll probably take about 2 hours. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, probably being up till 11, maybe 11:30 if it runs a little long, because when it gets to the end, you know, a lot of these guys get stupid. Same players get it takes a, you know, they're very unprepared as it goes down the line. So, yeah, I was just like, cool. It's like, all right, well, I guess I'm out of that one then. So I don't have to worry about, I don't have to worry about doing that. So yeah, I was pretty, I was pretty disappointed when, they wouldn't make any type of adjustment for me. You know, the weird thing is I should be used to this by now. You know, these are also the guys who won't change any of the rules that they've had since they started this league in, you know, like 1980. So, but oh, yeah, I was just kind of like, okay.
You're kind of like in the same position as a lot of NFL coaches right now. Oh, they got fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess technically I didn't get, I didn't get fired, but, you know, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, I mean, because we've been in, you know, this league now for quite a few years, probably 5, maybe 6 years. And, you know, I mean, we've, you know, new people come and go, and sadly one guy died. You know, it was just kind of odd how, you know, it worked out. And yet for whatever reason, they still managed to treat, well, me, you know, they love Mr. Fantasy, but for some reason, still the guy who gets treated like crap.
Well, the next new guy, you have to talk.
Yeah, well, you know what's weird is it's, you know, like we get the new guys in, like, you know, for football, we had a couple new guys and, you know, they weren't, you know, they weren't, and, you know, given any, you know, to be fair, they don't give too much crap to, you know, any of the new guys. But, you know, like my big thing is, you know, I've been trying to get them to adjust the baseball rules a little bit. And, you know, I mean, to me, I really like the fact when you use position-specific outfielders. You know, I mean, it's how the game is played. You know, you just don't go, hey, these guys are in the outfield. No, they play left, center, and right. And, you know, anytime I bring it up, I get shouted down. And this was the first, you know, last year was the first year I got told to shut up and stop bringing it up. So,
I mean, are they just using the rules kind of like the all-star voting?
Yeah, well, you know, they run it through the CBS sports site, and, like, they finally did it this year where, you know, for the longest time, you couldn't get 2 starts out of a starting pitcher. You know, you had to pick which start you wanted. And this was the first year they actually allowed us to get 2 starts from a guy. You know, it was set up a little more like our league where, you know, you put your pitchers in. If that guy got 2 starts, you got both those starts for the week. So, yeah, it was, you know, they finally came around to that math. But I don't know. It was just, you know, I thought it was a little crappy. And I'm a little tired of being treated that way. And luckily I have time before baseball rolls around, because if they were doing it soon, I would probably just tell them to get lost.
Oh, how many years before you tell me to shut up? It's not going to happen when I complain about 2 tight ends.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things, you know, I mean, we're not spending money. If we were spending money in that league, you know, it wouldn't be a 2 tight end. So, you know, that's just kind of how that works out. Just kind of doing that for, you know, bragging rights and fun and all that stuff. And that's why I always kind of laugh when people complain about it. And, you know, it's like, well, you know, we're not charged to do this. It's just for, you know, for fun. But yeah, you know, I was just like, okay, yeah, enough of that. So,
I mean, the only thing I would like, but this has nothing to do with anything. It's only because of what Yahoo started this year. Is if we could get the entire league to throw $5 in, so that, you know, the winner at the end can get sent. Kind of stupid, but I thought it'd be cool. But
yeah,
I kind of think it's the same time. Well, You keep breaking up. You're cutting me.
You just want a trophy.
Well, when you were a guy. Glad we didn't. We should have did it to the basketball team.
So, yeah, you know, it's, yeah, you know, like I said, it's just kind of blah. You know, just kind of little fed up with it. So we'll see how it goes by the time baseball rolls around. But yeah, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's time I need that year off or something. So
it's difficult or kind of pointless to do a playoff fantasy thing.
So, all right. So what else is going on? I'm trying to think what other fun stuff we've had happen here in sports today. Now, you know, I know obviously the big thing is we're getting, the Blue Jackets are going for number, 17 now. But it's, I think it's going to be a tough matchup. It's, you know, the Capitals tonight in Washington. So I'm not sure how that one's going to work out. I believe it's a 6 o'clock start. So they should be getting going here pretty soon. Yeah, I don't know if that's you breaking up or if that's me breaking up, but I should say, yeah, I don't know if it's you or me today, but I can't hear, I'm only getting bits and pieces of your replies. So we're off to a fantastic start for the new year on Sports Time Radio here. This is the second day in a row we've had issues. So we'll have to see. I'm not hearing Dan at all now, so maybe he dropped off he dropped off. Let me bring Dan back in, see if we got a better connection. All right, let's see what we got today. Say something. Let me see if we got a better connection.
Something.
There you go.
Something.
All right, hopefully. Boy, we're off to a great start. You and I had this problem yesterday, and now, today we have the same thing. I don't know what's going on. You're going to have to email our friends at Blog Talk Radio and tell them to get their heads out of their you-know-what so we can, you know, we come back to do the damn podcast, and then we can't do it. So...
Yeah, but like I was saying, I was scouring Bing, got my points. Go check out Bing. Email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. We'll set you up. But, I just saw a little thing. I thought you might get a kick out of it. And, of course, the title of it was, can we read way too deeply into this comment? And, of course, it's to do with Bryce Harper talking about his lovely hair and this and that. And there's a Yankee prospect. It's supposed to be coming up, I think, in this season. I forgot his name. Again, like I told you earlier, I have no Wi-Fi access, and I can't use my data for 3 days. So I can't, you know, go ahead and pull up any of that stuff right now for you. But, you know, Bryce tweeted out something about his hair and this and that, and this young Yankee prospect said, well, wait till I get up there. You'll get to see mine. But, you know, I'm paraphrasing in my own language anyways. And Bryce simply tweeted back, basically in the end, you know, no, you won't because you're a Yankee. So that beard and those luscious locks will have to go. And, you know, he also put in there much respect, or, you know, you got to respect it. Basically the Yankees way. What do you think of that? Did you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously. No, I actually didn't see that one, but, you know, obviously he's in a position where, you know, he doesn't want to offend anybody. You know, I mean, he's going to get a very, very large payday from somebody. You know, be it the Yankees, the Nationals, the Dodgers, somebody is gonna run out there and just, you know, they're basically gonna back a Brinks truck up to his wherever he's living at the time and dump it on his lawn. And, you know, it's gonna be up to him where he decides, you know, he wants to sign. So, you know, that's just kind of playing it on the up and up to, you know, keep all the bases open, I guess, so to speak, you know, to use the baseball term there. You don't want to, you don't want to tick anybody off for any, you know, stupid reason, like mentioning their oddly outdated hair policy. So.
Yeah, but it, you know, over the years, and guys who signed there never seemed to complain about it. I didn't hear Johnny Damon say a word. You know, he went along with it. It was like, wow, he's actually, you know, whatever. But, I mean, if you kind of sit back and take a look at it, no one's pegging the Yankees to win the World Series next year. I kind of feel like with the youth and everything they're putting together, next year might be one of those years where everyone learns to play together, you know, with Gary Sanchez, a lot of the rookies that are on the team. You know, who knows with Gleyber Torres, what's going to happen with him. But with Bryce being free agent 2018, I mean, in all likelihood, do you see that being, I guess we can all just determine that as like one of the number one spots for him to land. But I mean, do you think the Yankees are really going to go all out on him?
You know, you would think they haven't done anything like that in, you know, a few years now. And, you know, you have to think, I mean, if you're going to do it for a guy, I mean, you know, there's probably two guys out there you're going to do it for, and that's, you know, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, how long it takes before, you know, Trout hits the free agent market. Oddly, I pulled up a Yankees depth chart, and I figured since I was on the Mickey Mouse Network, I would just use theirs. And I got to tell you, whoever does their baseball stuff really sucks, because they have Brian McCann listed as the starting catcher and Mark Teixeira as the starting first baseman. Now, McCann obviously has been traded to Houston, and Teixeira is officially retired. So maybe you guys could get your head out of your you-know-what. I'm sure you're paid very good money just to continue to keep this updated. So, yeah, is it really really that difficult to do, guys, to just go in and, you know, make a couple changes on the computer? I think you guys could pay me to do that, and I would be able to keep up with it, because I wanted to see, they should have, you know, they're going to be very young. So I'm, you know, Harper will kind of fit right in with where the Yankees are going to be at that time. You know, Sanchez has taken over as the full-time catcher. Greg Bird, if he's healthy, now he is coming off that, I think it was a knee. But luckily, you know, as lucky as you can get with that kind of stuff, it was early in the year. So he's had pretty much almost, you know, 12 full months of recovery. So he should be ready to take over at first base. You know, it looks like Aaron Judge is going to be the first guy to get the shot at winning the right field job. You know, Holiday's, you know, they brought in Matt Holiday. He'll be a real good veteran at DH, and you know, he can sub a little in left field if Brett Gardner needs a day off, but they do still have Aaron Hicks. So, you know, I mean, if you think about it, maybe 2017, they contend for a wild card again if their pitching holds up. 2018, maybe they're a little higher. And then when Bryce hits the free agent market, you know, I think it's possible that Gardner and Ellsbury's deals may be expired. and they're going to be looking at a boatload of money to throw at Bryce Harper.
I didn't realize Gardner was going to.
So, yeah. You know, I don't believe he makes a ton, but obviously it's still, you know, it's still a little bit of relief when you can get a, you know, you get a salary like that off your books. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a, you know, that's a big, you know, a big plus for teams, because he, you know, when they signed him to it, it looked like it was a fantastic deal. And between the injuries and everything else, he's just really, really scuffled. You know, and Ellsbury has kind of had the same problem. You know, when he came over from Boston, he was an MVP caliber guy, and it seems like he's been pretty much nothing but hurt since, joining the Yankees. But let me double check on their contract lengths and see what they got going on here. See who's who. Gardner is signed through, oddly Gardner is signed through 2018. So he would come off the books at the exact right time. And then Ellsbury, let my internet connection slow down while you don't have it today, so it can take us even longer to get what I want to talk about with everybody here. So that's always a big plus, you know, thanks to good old AT&T, whose service really sucks. But actually, it looks like they will be with Ellsbury until 2020. So we'll, they would have to hang on to some of that money. But I mean, in this case, I mean, we're talking the Yankees, and you know, that's absolutely no big deal for them to carry a couple salaries like that.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be anything like the Dodgers have been carrying.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Yankees have, as weird as it sounds when you talk about it, I mean, the Yankees have actually been pretty well restrained with their finances as of late. Teixeira's off the books now. McCann is gone. I know they're paying a little of that salary. I think they still have to pay A-Rod for this year, but he's not going to be part of the team. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, the bigger contracts now, I think, belong to pitchers. I think CeCe's in the last year of his deal. Tanaka, I believe his salary is relatively manageable at what they got him for. And then, you know, it's what they signed Chapman for. What did he end up getting? Was it 5 years at $80 million?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's, again, it's nothing, you know, again, we're talking about the Yankees here. It's not like we're talking about the, you know, the Pirates or the Royals or something. Yeah, you know, so it's, you know, no, you know, not a problem for them to carry these salaries. And, you know, they do have some more guys in their pipeline, you know, that are supposed to be top prospects. You know, you mentioned Gleyber Torres. You know, he was minor league player of the year for, where was he, Double A?
Yeah.
So, you know, he was huge. And, you know, they got the big-time outfielder from Cleveland when they made the Andrew Miller trade. I'm drawing a blank on his name. But, yeah, you know, he's supposed to be a big-time prospect. You know, we saw a little of Luis Severino last year getting some starts. You know, we'll see if he develops into, you know, a front of the line rotation guy like people have talked about him being. So yeah, they're in a much different spot than I think the Yankees were used to. You know, I mean, we're used to them just going out and spend, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, they've been financially responsible and they have prospects now? What are the Yankees doing with prospects?
Well, I mean, let's not forget, though, for whatever reason, we're supposed to be, you know, baseball guys, and, you know, the Yankees are the bad guys because they spend. but I think the last round of spending, was it? I don't have the issue with the spending so much as the wild spending. I mean, you were spending all this money on guys. You know, you were paying for their careers 10 years ago. You weren't paying for what they were doing now. And I think that's what really kicked them in the butt and, you know, got their head up there, you know what? Because, I mean, how are you going to give, you know, guys that are 33, 35, 36 years old, 5 to 7 year contracts? I don't, and thinking that it's going to work out. I don't, I mean, it is what it is. So, I mean, like you said, you've got a kind of a different team. And not to mention the amount of money they're saving up the middle with Castro and Didi. So,
yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, you mentioned, you know, obviously the three front runners would have to be the Nationals, the Yankees, and the Dodgers. But, I mean, if I'm Bryce Harper and my agent is who he is, I can't think of his name right now. I don't know why. But, you know, baseball wouldn't
he's
survive.
He's a Scott Boras
him.
Guy.
Yeah, Scott
he's
Boras.
He's a Scott Boras guy, he, right?
Yeah, I don't ask you why. I haven't heard his name in a few months. So you would think with Boras on his side and everything that's going on, I'm Bryce Harper, I'm Scott Boras. I'm not even really entertaining the Nationals for the simple fact that they've had stuff to work with and they can't do it. I don't think they have what it takes. I think he would definitely have a better shot with the Yankees, you know, and then the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, you know, and don't forget, you know, there is that other California team. The Angels have a lot of money. They've spent it very badly, but, you know, they do have a lot of money. I know you're chuckling, but, I mean, think about it. They signed C.J. Wilson, James Hamilton. You know, they've made some really poor Albert Pujols, you know, that monster deal. They made some really poor free agent investments. But they, you know, they would be another team. I mean, could you imagine Bryce Harper and Mike Trout in the same outfield?
Oh, my God. How would the writers and all of, you know, all the mothership networks survive when you have to do everything on the West Coast time?
Yeah, well, that would be the only team we would talk about if that actually happened. You know, it would be the Angels would be the only team that mattered in Major League Baseball. So kind of, you know, kind of like the NBA is a two-team league, Major League Baseball would become a one-team league. So, but yeah, it, you know, they, you know, don't, you know, they could sneak in there. I wonder how the Red Sox factor in too, you know, because they're another big money team. You know, and then we keep hearing about, you know, the Blue Jays are always supposed to have all this money that they never spend. You know, maybe that's the time they spend it.
I mean, that would be amazing to see them spend it there.
Yeah, because, you know, it's weird because, like, I'm looking at a team list here. And, you know, when you look at the teams who have the money to make this move, you know, obviously you mentioned the front runners are the Dodgers and the Yankees. They always come right to the top. But, you know, the Red Sox have money. I mentioned the Blue Jays always allegedly have money. Don't forget the Tigers will spend money. He spent money before on players. You know, Mike Ilitch, he's, you know, he wants to win that World Series. He's getting a little older. He wants to win one more before he passes away. You know, we mentioned the Angels. Obviously, the Nationals aren't going to lose them. Don't forget that, you know, right here locally, the Cubs do have a boatload of money as well if they want to get involved in this. You know, there would be no issue at all at the Cubs being able to go out and throw, you know, 10 years and $400 million at the guy if they wanted to make that kind of a move. So, you know, while there are a few more American League teams, you know, there still are some National League teams, I think, who could pony up and be like, hey, come play here for, you know, $40 million a season.
Yeah, but don't forget the Angels. Now is the time for them to sell Trout. That's what everyone thinks.
Yeah, well, you know, that's because, you know, the White Sox sold Chris Sale. So, you know, Trout is the next guy that, you know, a bad team has to move because that's what you do when you're a bad team. Apparently you sell off all your talent to, cause everybody wants prospects. So, you know, God forbid we, you know, we just try to develop our own guys and win with what we got. You've got to go out and get everybody else's.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the White Sox, they did kind of what would you say, 3 years of drafting all done in one off-season trade?
Yeah, you know, except the problem now is they're half-assed through a rebuild. You know, what are you going to do now? You know, okay, you got rid of the second best left-handed pitcher in baseball who was under a fantastic contract for what, you know, looks like a good amount of prospects. You did somehow manage to rob the Nationals when you gave them Adam Eaton. I still don't know how that happened.
I don't understand.
But, you know, now you're sitting here looking at the fact, I mean, why do you need Todd Frazier? What's Todd Frazier going to do for this team?
Do you think no one wants to?
You know, I mean, no, you know, I do believe there are people out there, you know, who are interested in him. You know, I mean, you know, if the White Sox are smart and they really seriously are going to move Jose Quintana, you know, you say, okay, well, we'll deal you Quintana, but you got to take Todd Frazier and David Robertson. So I'm going to unload all my contracts on you to get the pitcher you want. Because, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to go into a season with Todd Frazier and David Robertson on your team if you're rebuilding. And, you know, the Reds went through this last year. You know, I mean, the Reds, you're looking at one of the worst rebuilds in baseball history because they went through the whole year with Joey Votto and Brandon Phillips eating up playing time for guys who could develop. So, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, well, you know, now Phillips is entertaining trade talk.
Yeah, now. You know, who wants him this year? There was a market for him last year. Nobody wants him this year. There's nope. No reason to take Brandon Phillips in any type of a deal. So, but,
what's
yeah, you know, like the weird thing is, like,
paying?
I still – Yeah, you know, like, I still don't believe the White Sox have to move Jose Quintana. You know, he's young. He's still under club control. Unless you're bringing a mountain back for him, kind of like the Adam Eaton deal, you don't move this guy. You know, there's no absolutely no reason to deal this guy. But, you know, you need to find a home for Todd Frazier. You need to find a home for Robertson. I got a feeling come the trade deadline, you'll be able to move Melky as long as he's still Melky and he's hitting right around 300. I think a veteran team will take him as a fourth outfielder. You know, a contender would want him to come off the bench. He is a switch hitter. You know, he could be a little bit of a factor there for somebody, but it's going to have to wait until the trade deadline. You know, other than that, I mean, I think you're kind of stuck. I think Jose Abreu is the piece you keep to build with, you know, and then you just kind of, you know, you work from there and you start seeing what these young guys can do.
Yeah, that was one of the, I think, you know, like you said, I'm still, and I guess we'll have to revisit this in what, 5 years, would you say, Big Jack, on the Chris Dale deal? But I'm,
yeah,
please. I'm a White Sox fan. No, go ahead. You know,
no,
what, like
five
I said,
years.
Yeah. So we'll probably have to revisit that in 5 years and, you know, kind of look back at the Chris Dale deal and how great it was for the Red Sox. But at the same token, I'm just not 100% into it. You know, I mean, you know, I didn't really buy the whole deal thing. It did work out. I mean, they got lucky. You know, they had everything. Everything was in the right place at the right time. You know, I think luck had to do a lot with it, but at the same token, I'm not 100% sold on what the White Sox did and what they're continuing to do. And it just, you know, it killed me. And, you know, listening to Chicago radio after, I mean, I don't really know where White Sox fans stand, to be honest with you, but I mean, guys are like, yeah, get rid, you know, load up the farm system. Let's get rid of Sale. Let's move Abreu. Let's move the entire team. And then I won't go next year or the year after or the following year. You know, maybe I'll go in 2020. Yeah. Got my opening day tickets for 2020.
Yeah, now, you know, the interesting thing with this White Sox rebuild that's going to be different from the Cubs, seven of their top 10 prospects are pitchers. You know, and like, you know, what worked for the Cubs is they knew hitting. They went out and found hitting. You know, they, you know, Theo and Jed have loved Anthony Rizzo since wherever. They always went and got him. You know, they made a great pick with Chris Bryant. Nobody liked the Kyle Schwarber pick except for them. Who's laughing now? You know, they went out and they made sure they picked up hitting. They spent money on pitching. The White Sox look like they're going to do it the other way here because all their top prospects, you know, with the exception of Moncada, who they got from the Red Sox in the sale deal, they're pitchers. And that's tough. I mean, we've seen how many pitchers, you know, fall on their face. You know, as much as, you know, again, I'm going to say it really looks like they stole from the Nationals in the Adam Eaton deal. The Nationals gave up on Giolito for a reason. You know, there was something there they didn't like. You know, the White Sox do have Don Cooper. He's very good with young pitchers. Maybe he fixes it and it works out great for the White Sox, or, you know, if this guy busts out, then, you know, it's not such a bad trade for the Nationals.
I mean, that's kind of where I was going to take the next step. You know, you said the Cubs, the White Sox. You know, it's kind of funny to me that new owners with the Ricketts, new GM and president and GM with Theo and Jed. Yet it's, to me, almost kind of more of the same in retrospect to the fact that they've never been able to develop pitching. Where the White Sox kind of have been able to, I mean, Chris Dale came through their system, Quintana. I mean, is that kind of on both sides of the coin their strength? And that's why they're going the way they did?
You know, it seems to be something, you know, something the White Sox can do. You know, and there are obviously there are a few teams who can, you know, develop pitching. You know, that's one of the things. And, yeah, it's odd for whatever reason that the Cubs just can't do it. I don't know why. It just kind of happens that way. You know, guys get into the Cubs system and they just vanish no matter who you are. So, you wonder kind of, you know, how it's going to work out. And, you know, these are interesting things. You know, Carlos Rodon was a high draft pick. You know, he's had his struggles, but he looked better towards the end of the year. In reality, he probably shouldn't have been up when he brought him up, but they needed him. You know, they have a lot of guys, you know, we could be looking at going, holy crap, this rotation is loaded with just these monster young guys. You know, or in return, we could be going, man, they drafted all these pitching and they suck. So.
Well, I mean, could it be another kind of more of the same though with the White Sox and the fact that you've got all these monster pitchers, but and I know records don't mean anything only to you and I, but you could have a bunch of 500 or sub 500 pitchers because the guys on the field can't score three runs.
Yeah. You know, that's always the possibility you run into. You know, I mean, will they score enough to win? You would like to think, you know, by the time these guys are ready for the majors, the hitting will have caught up. You know, the young hitting will catch up because obviously there's a, you know, there's a learning curve at the big league level. Will they or won't they? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other is what my mom always used to tell me. You just never know until they get here.
No, and I get that, but so, it just seems to be the trend. I mean, you know, obviously for the Cubs, two pitchers that we thought should have been complete aces, Zambrano and the Shark, Samardzija, I mean, they should have been aces. They just never panned out to be. And I don't know if it was because they truly weren't. You know, I think Samard just kind of proven that he's not an ace. He's more of your number two, your number three, given his rounds and, you know, MLB right now. And Zambrano always, Zambrano was a shooting star. I mean, it went out there and it faded just as quick, it seems like. But, you know, issues with them where they can never get the run support, where you wonder if Samardzija was still with the team, would he have had the run support kind of like John Lackey did? Because John Lackey had some pretty, you know, a lot of five-run games, but, you know, ones that he lost were very close, and ones that he won was because of the bats, you know, obviously.
Yeah, now, you know, to be fair, you know, as big of a whack job as Carlos Zambrano kind of ended up being, he had some good years. You know, I mean, for his career, he's actually 132-91. So obviously, you know, I mean, he's not going to the Hall of Fame, but anytime you're that much over 500, you know, there's something to be said there. He just kind of, you know, where's Mr. Fantasy when I need him? Because he's a big Def Leppard guy. The lyric, what is it? Is it better to burn out than to fade away or something like that? And I believe Carlos Zambrano just burned out because he didn't really fade away. But you look at it, I mean, from 2013 to 2008, he won 13 or more games. You know, in the strike shortened season, he actually led baseball with 16 wins. He won 18 and 20 in, 2007. You know, he was a perennial Cy Young Award contender for, you know, all those seasons. It looks like he finished fifth on three different occasions, and even got some MVP votes the one year. So, yeah, well, you know, I mean, he was obviously, completely off his rocker. You know, he did manage to put some together some really good years.
Off his rocker, I would say he was passionate.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. So, you know, but yeah, you know, he was the guy when it went away fast. You know, because he went from 14-6 to 2008. He had a little bit of a bounce back in 2010 where he did win 11 games. But, you know, he was, you know, 9-7, 11-6, 9-7, and then 7-10 that last year in Miami. You know, it just, you know, once it was gone, it was gone. You know, and I know he tried to make a comeback, I think, after that. He spent a partial year in the minors. I want to double check that to make sure I'm right, but I remember, 2013, he was with the Phillies in their minor league organization. So, you know, he kind of bounced around there, even pitched some winter ball in Venezuela, made 8 starts down there. So he attempted to, you know, hang on a little bit.
Oh, and don't forget his time in the Independents and was it Long Island or something?
Yeah, oddly, you know, I'm looking at that on Baseball Reference, and they don't have that listed. They have his career ending 2014. He did not pitch in Venezuela, but he made 2 plate appearances.
Well, I don't.
So they don't have him playing in the Independent League. So, I don't know.
Well, I don't believe they consider that professional. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, but I don't know. They cover so much that I'm just not sure.
That's the only thing that they don't touch. Because, I mean, even if you go look at Ricky Henderson's stats, which I was looking at quite recently because I got this San Diego Padres jersey. I was trying to make sure I got the, you know, look for the right year of the hat. But, yeah, his Independent stats aren't on there, aren't listed. But I don't think they consider that, you know, technically pro ball.
Yeah, it must be something they don't cover. I mean, you know, Zambrano did pretty well. He made a little under $114 million in his career. So I'm hoping he's okay in, you know, Venezuela or wherever he's living. But here's my trivia question for you, Dan. Who did the Cubs get back in the trade? They sent Zambrano to the Miami Marlins. Who came back in the deal?
Oh, that one's a good one. I don't remember. Matt Merton?
No, I think Merton was already on the team. Here you go. They got Chris Volstead back.
Who?
Chris Volstead, a pitcher. Here you go. Here's what he did with the Cubs, Dan. In 2012, he made 21 starts. He was 3-12 with a 6.31 ERA. The next year, he made 6 relief appearances, didn't have a record, and had a 10.80 ERA. I believe he got injured. He blew out his arm or something. He came back to pitch in one more game for the Pirates in 2015. He pitched 2 innings, gave up 2 hits and no runs. And that was it. After that, there's no more Chris Volstead in the majors.
Yeah, I think that was the year I just, you know, was whatever his name is for the Dodgers, and I was riding that train. Plus, they got my guy, Agon.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully, I'm not sure too many people remember that's who came back for Carlos Zambrano. Believe it or not, Volstead actually pitched in Charlotte for the White Sox last year. He went 8-11, 27 starts, 29 total games with a 4.79 ERA. So he was in AAA for the White Sox. Well, technically it was 2 years ago. It was 2016. But, yeah, it was last season. So,
interesting. Well, I mean, we still technically.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we'll see him hanging around somewhere. He is only 30. So, you know, there's a chance maybe a team brings him in as a reliever or something like that, or takes a look at him. And, you know, he's bounced around this long. Maybe somebody else gives him one more look in the bullpen or however that kind of works out. But, yeah, that's kind of humorous that he was the guy who came back to the Cubs for Zambrano.
Well, I mean, they just wanted to unload that contract. They did.
Yeah, that was all it was. But, you know, I mentioned the White Sox top 10 for pitching-wise. The Cubs here, Dan, they have, let me see, we're going to be those 3. Looks like 5 of their top guys, top prospects are pitchers. Or is it 6 here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The highest one is number 3, Dylan Cease. The problem that I always have with these rankings, and I'm always going to have with these rankings, you know, Cease here is 21. And he's only had 1 minor league season. So to make him the 3rd-ranked prospect in your organization, I'm not quite sure how much. And this isn't the Cubs rankings. This is MLB.com and Baseball America or whoever they use. I think it's MLB Pipeline they use for their rankings. But, I mean, the kid's 1 year in. He's had 12 professional starts, you know, against guys who are, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old, and you throw him up there as a number 3 prospect. I think I would like to see him get some tougher hitters out before I'm banking all that stuff on him. And it's not just the Cubs they do this with. They do this with every team. And I guess it just gets the fans excited to see these prospects. So I think that's why they do it. So, yeah, you know, the fun stuff that the fun stuff you get to do when you're looking at all the wonderful prospects and everything that goes with it. So, but you know, I was looking at or listening to something today, Dan, and I'm not sold on this, and I'm trying to find a way. Maybe you can sell me on this. You know, I'm not sold that Jeff Bagwell is a Hall of Famer. But everybody I've heard thinks he's getting in this year. I know he was really close last time. You know, is he a Hall of Famer? What am I missing here that I'm not buying this guy as a Hall of Famer?
Is it the company he's in? You know, who he's on the ballot with this year?
I'm just not sure. I mean, here you go. He had 449 career homers. He's a .297 career hitter. Over 15 years with the Astros, 2,314 hits. You know, he didn't reach any of those automatic milestones. You know, he's not a 500 homer guy. He's not a 3,000 hit guy. You know, I know he won an MVP back in 1994. He's a former Rookie of the Year. I think he's got a Gold Glove as well. Did I see? Yeah, he won one. Won a Gold Glove. He was always there in the MVP voting. And for whatever reason, I just wasn't sold on his Hall of Fame candidacy. Like, I'm looking, as big as a power hitter as he was, he never led the league in home runs. He led it in RBIs once, RBIs once, doubles once, and runs scored three times. He did steal 202 bases, which is pretty big for a first baseman. But, yeah, I guess, the stats just don't jump off the page for me with him. And I know it's a career accomplishment, but I can't get sold here on him.
I mean, what would put him over the edge for you?
I wish I knew. He got almost 72% of the vote last time, so I'm sure he's going in. Maybe if he had won a World Series title, I would be a little more inclined to look at him. And, I guess maybe I don't give him the credit. I mean, he was in the top 20 of the MVP voting. What do they have here? 10 times in 15 years. So obviously the writers liked him. He was a big part of that organization when they were kind of on the cusp of winning it. I mean, they never did quite win it. But, yeah, I just, Biggio, I had no problem with when Biggio went in. For whatever reason, I just wasn't as sold on Bagwell.
Is he the killer bee you didn't mind?
The weird part is, it's not that I didn't like him, but it kind of goes back to that, it's not the Hall of Very Good. And, to me, Bagwell was just very good. I don't know if he was extendedly great for the period of time you need to be to get in the Hall of Fame. When I look at it, you mentioned some of the guys he's with. He's closer to getting in than Tim Raines. Tim Raines was a better player than Jeff Bagwell.
Do you think it hurt Raines, though, being in Montreal?
Well, it hurt Raines in the fact that the other guy who was doing the same thing with him at the same time was a guy named Ricky Henderson. If there was no Ricky Henderson, Raines is the first ballot Hall of Famer. He's the greatest, base runner in the modern era. But, he's always going to be compared to Ricky. And, yeah, he was hidden in Montreal for quite a while. That, and I know he had a bit of a drug issue, there are those writers who always will hold that against you regardless.
Yeah, but, this is where I find the writers, they need to pull their head out of their you-know-what. Because, these are the same guys who will bow down when Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden walk in the door.
Yeah. Where you're from or how you feel.
I guess. I mean, did the 84 Mets really have that big of an impact to where, these guys could have all gone out to mass murdering and everyone would still love them and want their autographs?
It's New York, so they kiss their you-know-whats there. But, All right, Dan, let's get to some picks here because we're running out of podcast time. You did go 2-1 last night, and I got to tell you, Dan, out of all the games that you ended up losing, there's no way I would have ever thought that it would have been the Cavaliers that lost for you. So let's see what we can get tonight. We got one game in the NBA already started, the Brooklyn Nets and the Indiana Pacers, so that game's off the board. We got the Utah Jazz at the Toronto Raptors, the Charlotte Hornets at the Detroit Pistons, the Atlanta Hawks at the New Orleans Pelicans. The first game on TNT tonight is the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Houston Rockets. The Phoenix Suns are at the Dallas Mavericks. The San Antonio Spurs are at the Denver Nuggets. And the night on TNT wraps up with the Los Angeles Lakers at the Portland Trail Blazers. Dan, I'm only really excited about one of these matchups, so I'm only going to give you one. The first TNT game, Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook against Houston and James Harden. Who wins the game?
I'm going with Westbrook all the way.
Oh. All right. I was wondering there. Harden's been really good. I thought maybe you were going to take the home team and try to get the run there, but we'll see.
Yeah,
let's see if there's
either.
Some better NFL. Yeah, that's true. Well, he's been a little better this year, but yeah, you know, with the way he's been scoring, defense doesn't really matter. Let's see if we got some good NHL matchups. What do we have here? All right, Dan, we got the Edmonton Oilers at the Boston Bruins, the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Washington Capitals. Dan, I got a feeling we're coming back to that game. The Nashville Predators at the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Carolina Hurricanes at the St. Louis Blues, the Buffalo Sabres at the Chicago Blackhawks, that's the NBC Sports Network game tonight. The Detroit Red Wings at the Los Angeles Kings, and the night in the NHL wraps up with the Minnesota Wild at the San Jose Sharks. Dan, we always do the local games. Buffalo's in town tonight to take on the Blackhawks. Who you got winning that game?
The Blackhawks.
All right. And now, Dan, they've got 16 wins in a row. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but they're only one or two games away from tying the record. Boy, this is a tough matchup. The Blue Jackets are going to your Capitals. Washington end the streak tonight, or you got Columbus moving along?
Washington's breaking the streak.
I was wondering if you were going to go that route. There you go. Dan calls the streak over tonight. I did see they find one the other day, Evgeny Kucherov, they fined him like $200,000 for embellishment, as the NHL calls it. In the NBA, it's called flopping. In the NHL, they call it embellishment. So he got hit with like a $2,000 fine for faking it.
And in wrestling, we call that selling.
Yes, yeah, he definitely would have been fined in the WWE. He's the second player they fined this year, so I guess the NHL is cracking down on that. So we'll see how that goes. There we go. I was waiting for the music to start. All right, Dan, time for Dan and I to head out. Don't worry, we're coming back to wrap up the week with you tomorrow on Friday. But you know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the content there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow that Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You know Dan's picks come up there. Or don't forget, you'll see them at Dan Z Man with three E's. He's got the Thunder over the Rockets tonight in the NBA. He's going with the Blackhawks to beat the Sabres in the NHL. And he also has the Washington Capitals ending the Blue Jackets winning streak tonight at 16 games. Get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan listen live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.